I file a bill every single year to increase the minimum wage. And I look at my colleagues in the Senate. I said, which one of y'all can live off $7.25 an hour? The bill don't get a hearing.
Made mention of infrastructure. The infrastructure bill was brought about through the Biden administration. How many people, I mean, well, I'll say this. Did the majority vote for the infrastructure?
Well, the majority voted. That's how it passed. But amazingly, those that didn't vote, and mainly conservative Republicans, did not vote for it. But when these projects, as they become completed, and you're having ribbon cuttings, who's showing up want to take credit? The folks who didn't even want to see it come.
That's true.
And so that's politics today. They try to toe the party line, but you can't have it both ways. Either you're for it or you're against it. And they don't want to vote to support these things to help improve the quality of life for all of us. But when those things are done, they want to come and take credit for it, and they have no shame, you know. That's right.
Sid, I got a two-part question for you. How long have you been a resident of Clarendon County, District 36? Have you ever used any other address to file?
That's a great question. When I interviewed with WIS Channel 10 earlier today, I emphasized that point because, you know, this is serious business, and it's not about playing games. Yeah. And like my current opponent on the Democratic side, this is his third time running against me, and I believe every time he's run, he's had a different address. My opponent is in the Democratic side is Eliezer Carter. And so let me just say this right here. I'm a lifelong resident of Clarendon County. Of course, my father was military, so when I was a child, we moved a lot. But both my parents are from Manning, lifelong. We built our house, my wife and I, in 1987. I've been there ever since. And before then, I was right next door with my mother. So, you know, there's never been a question as far as my residency. But Eliezer Carter, for example, if you check the records at Richland County, where he has his home, every year he goes to Richland County Treasurer's Office and pays his property tax on his home, but he's paying the tax at the rate that's reserved only for homeowners. And he walks out with a receipt saying that he's a legal resident of Richland County. And his receipt also shows him, this is how much you saved this year by filing tax as a resident. Non-residents and people who have second homes and whatever, it's a higher tax rate. But for your legal residents, and so, but then when it's election time, all of a sudden he's a resident of Clarendon County. The records at Richland County also shows that he's not a resident of Senate District 36. He's a resident of Senate District 21. But he plays those games, and as a matter of fact, years ago, he was on the school board in Clarendon School District 1 in Somerton. And they had a hard time, but they finally were able to kick him off the board because they said, listen, you're a resident of Richland County. And so I don't know why he plays those games. And other games he's playing, he filed to run for this seat in March of this year. But in February this year, he voted in the Republican presidential primary. So really, I really feel like I'm running against three Republicans. all the folks who are supporting him are Republicans.
Yeah.
Now, let me be clear. In Clarendon County, there are good Republicans. Some even are moderate. But you have what they call the Clarendon County Republican Party. They're much different. And those are the ones who are supporting Carter. And if I might expound, they are coming out in public, Facebook and everything, and they're telling us what their plan is. They're asking all Republicans to vote in the Democratic primary, which will be held Tuesday, not for the Republican candidates, but to come in the Democratic primary, vote for Eliezer Carter against me, and then they say, oh, and by the way, in November, you can come back and vote for the real Republicans. So right. He's a Republican plant, and his task is to make sure they knock me out so they'll have an easy shot in November to take the seat. From all indications, that's not working. And it's a slap in the face to the Republican candidates. Here they are, campaigning hard, spending money, making the rounds, And then these folks are saying, don't worry about them. You go vote in the Democratic primary. So everything that's going on there is just a fraud. And these people just will not tell the truth, which I'm sure we're going to hit on some of that later on. And we want to make sure that this is factual, because this is serious business. So what's going on? Let me break it down for you. In the South Carolina House of Representatives, there are 124 members. There are 88 Republican and 36 Democrat. They have a super majority. They can do anything they want to do. In the Senate, it's 46 senators, it's 30 Republican and 16 Democrats. They are one seat away from having a super majority. If they get that one seat, and I think they're probably going to get it, it's not going to be my seat, I don't think, but when they get that one seat, we might well just stay home, because they could be able to do anything they want to do. And if you all think this crazy constitutional carry gun bill and all the stuff they passed this year is bad, it's going to get worse, because they're going to be able to do what they want to do without any, you know, anything, it's, with nothing we can do about it. It's a numbers game.
And to piggyback on that, not to cut you off, the gerrymandering, you know, the courts, South Carolina Supreme Court ruled that it was unconstitutional. The Supreme Court didn't take it up in time. So now they're saying they're going to go with what they have.
They go with what they have.
So yeah, that kicks, it helps Nancy May some of and it hurts Senator Stevens. Am I correct in saying that?
That's right.
So
this episode is sponsored by Events by Sweet Pea LLC, CEO Eartha Mae Hughes. Our mission at Events by Sweet Pea LLC is to provide and create seamless, lasting experience. Our services are impeccable and precise to leave every client with a smile. We will give you a lasting impression as we help your vision come alive. You can contact Eartha Mae Hughes at 803-983-4625. Again, 803-983-4625. And her email address is eventsbysweetpea104@gmail.com. Again, eventsbysweetpea104@gmail.com. Jerome Robinson MMA of Team Robinson MMA. A safe training environment that will enable students of all ages and backgrounds to grow physically and mentally. You can visit their website at www.imteamr.com for more information. If you're interested in being a sponsor, contact myself, Ernest Miller, at 803-565-9752. That's 803-565-9752. Or you can hit me up on my email at eaenestmiller83@gmail.com. Again, that's eaenestmiller83@gmail.com. You can also make contact with my producer, Victor Wesley of Vic West Production. His telephone number is 803-225-0021. That's 803-225-0021. Also, his email address is vicwestp@gmail.com. That's vicwestp@gmail.com.
Can you please respond?
And it's just a matter, again, of they have the majority, so they draw the lines. And that's how they drew them. And they're not fair. But that's why we have, out of our seven United States congressmen, we have one Democrat, Jim Clyburn, and the others are Republican. That's where the lines are drawn. And that's one thing when I alluded to earlier about the growth and the folks coming to South Carolina. And from what we can tell, most of the growth is Republican. So that tells me it's going to only get worse. It's going to get worse. And we have a lot of Democrats and African-Americans moving away, but the folks that's coming in, they have a different mindset and a different political persuasion.
Now, earlier you brought up the gun bill. Two-part question again. How do you decide what bill you're going to support, and what do you think about that gun bill?
Well, what I do as a senator from District 36, you know, when you're in Columbia, a lot of people trying to get you to do what they want you to do, right? When I got to Columbia, one of the first things I was told, listen, these folks up here, they can't vote for you. They don't live in your district. So what I try to do is make sure that I'm voting for bills that benefit the people I represent. And then the other half of that, I'm voting against bills that don't benefit the people I represent. And let me give you an example. South Carolina is one of the states that have not expanded Medicaid. Every year I file a bill to expand Medicaid, which will provide quality, affordable health care for about 200 or so thousand citizens. The bill never gets a hearing. I file a bill every single year to increase the minimum wage. And I look at my colleagues in the Senate. I said, which one of y'all can live off $7.25 an hour? The bill don't get a hearing. I think there was some data that that pay for women in a lot of arenas is 55% of what a man makes for the same job. I file a bill every year for equal pay for women. File a bill to have hate crime legislation. We're one of two states, us and Wyoming, that don't have hate crime legislation. File a bill every year to make Juneteenth a state holiday. So I'm filing bills and supporting bills that benefit the people I represent. Now, why I can't get a hearing on these bills is, like I said again, they control the agenda. All of our chair people, chairpersons, are Republican, good people. I work well with them. But if that chairman doesn't assign that bill to a subcommittee, it goes nowhere. And that's what happens. So a lot of good bills, and we didn't even say, you know, and Darrell Jackson was the leader of Senator Jackson, and I co-sponsored the bill. We said, you know, y'all don't have to vote on hate crime legislation. Just let us bring it to the floor and debate it. We can't even debate it. So you know, and I know that I'm a state senator first, but you need to look out for what serves the best interest of the people you represent. So the second part of your question was what about the gun bill? Okay, so let me say this about the gun bill. We probably entertain roughly 1,000 bills in the Senate every year. Probably less than 100 get passed. But I've been up there in the General Assembly, including my time in the House, for 14 years. And I would think that constitutional carry bill that we just passed is probably the worst piece of legislation that came before since I was up there. It's bad. And so a lot of what's happening now, and we see the headlines in Sumter, and what's happening in Sumter is happening everywhere. Sumter's getting a lot of headlines. It's happening everywhere. But a lot of that, not all of it, but a lot of it is the fact that guns. And when you pass a bill and say, I have a constitutional right to carry my gun any place I want to carry it, I can be 18 years old, I don't have to have training, I don't have to have a permit, I don't have to really have, you know, mental sense, mental health or whatever, it's a recipe for disaster. So when Ernie pulls somebody over now, they can have their gun sitting right by them. Right? Before, it had to be concealed in the car, if you know, but he pull them over, say they're speeding, you don't know what kind of day they're having. Maybe they had a big argument with their wife or anything be going on, and he pulls them over, and they just flip, and the gun's sitting right there. So it's a crazy bill, and they know it's a crazy bill, but again, they're trying to appease their base, who, in my opinion, is crazy also.
So can I say this? And I always say this, Senator, every show when we talk about this topic, I always say it, and I'm not talking about you, because obviously you're against it, but some of the lawmakers, they only make these laws because it's benefit them on a vote. But if it happened to their family member, it'll change.
Well,
it never happens to their family member, right. So that's why they approved.
But that's a good point, because that's what happens in the South Carolina General Assembly. Something has to hit home.
Yeah.
A prime example, we tried for years, even before I got there, to bring the Confederate flag off the State House grounds. They wouldn't budge. What had to happen for them to move the Confederate flag from the State House grounds? The Charleston Massacre. And here is a state senator, very well respected, an AME minister, and in Bible study, and here come a guy who adores the Confederate flag, comes in a Bible study and killed nine people.
Right.
And that's what it took to get everybody to come together. Not everybody, because it was not unanimous. It was a majority vote, and that's what it took. So we react, and so, you know, I hope it doesn't happen, but it's going to have to take a serious incident with guns or with a gun to hit close to home, and then the light's going to go off, and they say, you know what, this is probably not a good bill after all, and they know it's not a good bill. And so when we're debating the bill and voting on the bill, who's in the balcony sitting down looking down on them to make sure they toe that line? The folks from the NRA. And so if you check a lot of them's campaign disclosure accounts, they probably getting donations from them or whatever.
It got to be that, because you just said it. They know it's not a good bill, but they still approve it.
And they throw that, oh, that person had mental health issues. And I always pose this question. There are thousands and thousands of mental health hospitals around this U.S. How many people in this mental health institution are getting killed by guns?
That's right.
Zero.
But you're right.
To be continued. Make sure you check out the next episode. And also, you make sure you like, subscribe, and comment on my YouTube channel, The Mill Experience. And now we also on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon. Make sure you download. Peace.